From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting there's been a pause Tuesday in ground operations by some 30,000 Iraqi, Kurdish Peshmerga, and Sunni tribal fighters who launched the long-anticipated offensive to retake the northern Iraqi city of Mosul from Islamic State occupation. The air and ground assault began early Monday against an estimated IS force of between 4,000 and 8,000. U.S. defense spokesman Peter Cook said initial reports on progress have been positive.
Early indications are that Iraqi forces have met their objectives so far, and they are ahead of schedule for this first day. This is going according to the Iraqi plan, but again, it's early, and the enemy gets a vote here.
The commander of the U.S.-led coalition backing the offensive, Lieutenant General Stephen Townsend, warned it could take weeks or longer to capture Mosul. The U.N. resident and humanitarian coordinator for Iraq, Lisa Grand, expressed alarm over the fate of the civilian population.
Our concern is that civilians are at extreme risk from crossfire, from possible artillery barrage. We understand that ISIL has booby-trapped large parts of the city. We understand that there's extensive contamination by explosive hazards. We're very worried about snipers.
U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter has called the battle the decisive moment in the campaign to deliver the IS group a lasting defeat. The Constitutional Court in Democratic Republic of Congo Monday approved a petition by the country's Electoral Commission to delay a presidential election set for next month to April. President Joseph Kabila was expected to step down in December when his two-term mandate expired. The court acted on a request by a national dialogue involving the ruling coalition and members of the opposition. Most opposition parties boycotted the talks and called for a general strike Wednesday. This is VOA News. The Russian Defense Ministry has announced Tuesday a halt in Syrian and Russian airstrikes over Aleppo. This comes after it said Monday Russian and Syrian armed forces would observe an 8-hour humanitarian pause in the devastated northern city on Thursday.
20 October, at 8 часов утра.
Lieutenant General Sergei Rutskoy said the October 20th pause would last from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. local time, allowing for the free passage of civilians, evacuation of the sick and wounded, and the withdrawal of fighters. He said there would be two corridors open by which people could leave the city. That move welcomed Monday by UN spokesman Stefan Dujarric.
Obviously, any lessening of the violence, lessening of the fighting, any pause that's actually implemented would be very much welcome. We have been calling for at least a 48-hour ceasefire, cessation of hostilities, so in order to get humanitarian aid in.
Meanwhile, new air attacks Monday in and around Aleppo killed dozens of civilians, including children. The UN Special Envoy to Yemen announced a 72-hour ceasefire to begin Wednesday night after he received commitments from all the warring factions. Ismail Old Sheikh Ahmed said the cessation could be renewed. The announcement came a day after the U.S., Britain, and the U.N. envoy urged the warring parties to declare a ceasefire. An unmanned Antares rocket with a Cygnus capsule operated by Orbital ATK blasted off late Monday from Wallops Island, Virginia, with a cargo destined for the International Space Station.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And as you can see, Cygnus lifting off on top of its Antares rocket on its mission to deliver supplies and science to the International Space Station.
The capsule loaded with more than 2,400 kilograms of food, supplies, equipment, and experiments. It's expected to dock with the space station on Sunday. Searchers have recovered 32 bodies after a ferry in Myanmar sank in a river in the northwest of the country, also known as Burma. Scores are still missing. The death toll could rise. The ferry capsized Saturday on the Chindwin River. As many as 300 people may have been on board. Dozens of Japanese officials Tuesday visited a controversial war shrine in Tokyo, a frequent pilgrimage that usually angers China and South Korea. They view it as a painful reminder of Tokyo's wartime past. 85 Japanese lawmakers arrived at the Yasukuni Shrine to pray for Japan's war dead. Senior military and political leaders convicted of war crimes are also buried there. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe Monday sent a ritual offering but avoided making the controversial trip. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.